This fall, we have borrowed the vernacular of Apple computers and come up with a sermon series we've called iChurch, about how to get connected and productive in my church family. In our first message, we talked about the fact that each of us is responsible for our own spiritual growth. Nobody's going to do it for us. You have to do it for yourself. You have to pursue that relationship to God. You do that by cultivating the soil of your heart so it's receptive to God's word. And you got to feed and nourish your spiritual life, and you have to work diligently to keep the weeds out. Nobody plants them, but they do grow. Now, we learned that the responsibility of leadership in the church, pastors and teachers, is to train and equip God's people to do His work. And we learned that His work is making disciples. That's what the Great Commission is about. And so we challenged everybody in the church family to pursue this spiritual growth through discipleship training. It's a training that will help train and equip you to be able to know and, more importantly, share your faith, as Sebastian prayed about today. And so we encourage you to do that. In week two, we had a message called I Worship, and we talked about the fact you're responsible for your participation in worship. Again, nobody can do that for you. We learned some three important principles about worship. Worship isn't just singing on Sunday morning. It's about giving ourselves to the Lord. We learned that real worship is costly. David said, I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. And that's what our worship needs to be. And we also learned that God is looking for people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And when we worship together, as we do on Sunday mornings, I mean, our worship should be a daily expression, but when we worship together, our worship isn't really so much about our comfort and our preferences. Our worship is for an audience of one, the Lord God Almighty. We need to think about how He feels about this. And last week, we talked about another area of responsibility, that you're responsible for participation in fellowship with the church family. We talked about the word fellowship comes from a Greek word, koinonia, and it actually implies a partnership and active participation in the group. I think if Paul was writing some of these passages today, he might have called the word term fellowship doing life together. It's more than just meeting on Sunday mornings, it's doing life together. And we learned last week that friendship leads to fellowship, which leads to fellowship. And that's what a church family is all about, walking together to follow Christ. And that brings us to our message today. And I want you to know I brought along a present. Now, I did have red and green and white wrapping paper, which is reminiscent of Christmas. And just so you know, you don't have very many shopping days left till Christmas, you know. We are solidly into October, and so you better be thinking about it. But I did bring a gift today, and I wonder, who would like to have a gift? You can raise your hand. It's okay. Well, that's great. Most of us like gifts. We get excited about getting gifts. Now, don't you kind of hate it when somebody gets a gift and they're so meticulous about opening it up because they don't want to destroy the paper? Do you know anybody like that? And it's like, just rip it open, get into it, and all of that. But anyway, I have good news. I don't want you to think this is kind of like one of those daytime talk shows where they say, everybody's going to get a gift when you leave, because the truth of the matter is, you already have a gift. You do. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. The Apostle Peter wrote in his first letter, chapter 4, verse 10, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. But I want you to understand something about this gift that God gave you. He wants you to use these gifts to serve one another. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12, 4-7, these words, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of all of them. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but the same God who does, it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So I want you to understand, when you became a Christ follower, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, when you repented of your sins, when you confessed His name and were baptized and raised to walk in a new life, God's given you a gift, a spiritual gift. But I want you to understand, the spiritual gift you've been given is not for you. Did you see what Peter and Paul said here? They said your gift is to serve one another and to help each other. And that's why I've entitled our message today, I Serve. It's the fourth pillar of our iChurch series. I grow, I worship, I fellowship, I serve. And if you want to be a part of a vibrant church family, these are some of the core things that we need to do. Now, there is a passage Paul wrote that gives a more definitive look at this, and it's so important. I'd like to encourage you to open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 12. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 865. We're going to read verses 4 through 13, and I want you to see what Paul says about the importance of these gifts and about using them to serve and help one another in the body of Christ. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 13, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. And when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Pretty amazing list, but did you see here in verse 6, in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Paul takes this a step further in 1 Corinthians 12, if we would have read a little farther there, when he talks about the body having different parts of the body having different abilities. And if we all had the same gifts, if we all had the same abilities, we'd kind of be stuck because we could only do one thing. But God has given us all different gifts for doing things well. And that is His plan for a healthy church family, a healthy body of Christ. Now, whenever I do a teaching on this, there's always a really important question that some people ask, and it may be on your heart today as well. And that question is, so how do I discover my spiritual gift? Now, you may be here today and you already know what your spiritual gift is, but there may be some of you who have wondered this for most of your life. What is my spiritual gift? I accept the fact that God gave me one, but what is it, and how do I discover it so that I can use it? And I'd like to give you five things that you can do to discover your spiritual gift so that you can be active in employing it in the church family life. The first thing that we should do whenever we have a question like this is to pray. We need to ask God. In fact, James 1:5 says this, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and guess what? He'll give it to you. And especially if you want to discover your spiritual gifts so that you can put it to use in the church family, don't you think he'll answer that kind of prayer? I do. But there's a second thing you can do after you pray, and that's to study the Word. There are four passages that deal specifically with this idea. We read from 1 Peter 4, we read from 1 Corinthians 12, from Romans 12. There's also a passage in Ephesians 4 we read earlier in the series. And I want you to understand that the lists about the spiritual gifts, it's not an exhaustive list. They're just examples of gifts that God has given in the church family. But I want you to get a basic understanding of what serving others looks like in the church family, and these passages of Scripture will give you examples. So not only should you pray, not only should you study the Word, number three, you should really ask what needs to be done. You may not know this if you just come to church for service at 10:30 and leave, but did you know there are a lot of things that have to get done just to have a Sunday morning service? Did you know there are a lot of things that have to get done in order to have the various ministries that go on in our church? And so, if you've been praying and studying Scripture, the next thing is ask what needs to be done. In other words, what are the needs that exist in the church family? In fact, I'm going to go a step farther and say, what do you recognize that's not going on that genuinely concerns you? Now, I've been in other churches where people come up to leaders and say, do you know what this church needs to do? This church needs to do this ministry, or this church needs to provide that. And yet nobody steps up to do it. And do you know what I think? I think if God lays on your heart something that you see needs to be done, do you know who he's calling to do it? Do you? Yes. He's calling you. But sometimes we come up with all these reasons why we can't. And in essence, we refuse to use the gifts that God gave us. And instead, sometimes I've seen people who see something that needs to be done and won't do it, but they go to the leaders and say, you ought to do this. Then they get kind of ticked if it doesn't get done. So ask what needs to be done, and if you see needs, step up. It kind of goes along with the next one. I think a lot of times people sit around, well, I just don't know what my spiritual gift is, so I'm going to pray about it, and I'm going to study the Word, and once the Lord reveals it to me, then I'll do something. And so they sit, and they contemplate. And maybe complain. But I think the next answer is, get busy serving. If you've been praying, if you've been studying, if you see things that need to be done, step up and get busy serving. Watch for opportunities to serve and just do it. I was talking to some young people one time in a youth group setting about this, and they had a strong desire to do stuff, but they didn't know what to do. And I said, just look for the opportunities and try lots of different things. You'll never know what your gift might be unless you try different things. So watch for opportunities to serve and just do it. And just because you've never done anything before in that particular way doesn't mean you aren't gifted for it. Doesn't mean you won't like it. It just means you haven't tried. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that there's a lot of things that need to happen in order for a church family to function. And as we are in a process of, I guess, a reboot and getting back into health and growth mode here, I want to tell you about what some of those opportunities are. For instance, we have a worship team. And you may not think about this because you just may come and enjoy what goes on, but did you know there are things that need to happen to get worship ready? There's the planning for the service. There's the vocals and the accompaniment. And there's even help that we need in the sound booth. Now, today we had our regular vocalist, Joy, lead us. And Joy does an awesome job planning, but I'm sure at times you probably would appreciate some help, huh? She would. Now today, Joy explained that Mary Lou wasn't here, but didn't really say why, and in case you don't know, she has a granddaughter that's being baptized at church today down in Kentucky, and she wanted to go, and we wanted her to go, but we needed somebody else to help. Now, our brother Mike Rose, who goes to church down the road here, he was willing to step up because he saw a need, and he was asked, and he did it. Thank you, brother. You might also notice Chuck and Cheryl aren't here today. And every so often, we hear Chuck give a communion meditation, but you might not see him regularly because you know where he is most every Sunday? He's in the sound booth. But he and Cheryl had an opportunity to go down to Tennessee to pick up some grandkids who are on fall break, and they're going to spend the week with them this week. And Chuck said, I need to be gone. Well, that often presents a problem because we don't have a lot of help in the sound booth. I don't know if you recognized and saw when you came in who's back there. Do you see who's back there today? Our sister Carolyn. Carolyn just happened to tell me a few weeks ago she's always had an interest in learning how to do that, and she'd be willing to serve. When Chuck said, I need to be gone, I asked. And once again, she stepped up to help. But just to get the worship team together and to do what we do every week, there's people that serve, and they serve regularly, and they serve well, but we need help. And if you have an interest in helping in those ways, that might be something that you can try. We also have a communion team. And you might not realize all the elements that go into it, but somebody's got to prepare and clean it up. We have people that we need to give meditations. And we also have people that need to serve. And sometimes it's a lot of the same people. I understand that sometimes we have trouble getting people to sign up for a month at a time to help with communion prep and cleanup, but that's something any of us can do. I know meditations freak some people out because, public speaking, but we can do it. And sometimes we need help serving. If you have an interest in that, we have a need. Or what about what I'll call the record-keeping team. Do you know every week we have to keep accounting and attendance records? Somebody's got to count the offerings. Somebody's got to take attendance. We have news and announcements that need to be made, and we even have to produce a bulletin. And that responsibility, I guess, for quite some time has fallen on Steve and Debbie, but I'm sure you'd like some help. Again, those are more behind-the-scenes things, but they're things that all of us can learn to do. And maybe you like doing behind-the-scenes things. That would be a great thing. One thing that once this COVID thing's over and we can have a little bit more of people in the lobby area, we need to put together a hospitality team. As we have been inviting people to church, some people are still hesitant to come, but if we want to grow, we need to have people out front with big smiles on their faces, helping people find their way in. We may have some people that need help using the elevator, or they need to know where the bathrooms are, where they don't know. And so we're going to need help greeting and welcoming, directing and assisting people where to go. And you may be able to do that. Another thing that we have to gear up for is a children and youth ministry team. Now, Matt and Kayla have been working with that, as many of you know, but right now they don't have any help. And we're kind of in a difficult situation because right now we don't have a lot of young people to fill classes, but if we don't have people to lead the classes, why would they ever come? Why would families come if we don't have things for them? Well, that's going to take some people who are willing to staff a nursery, teach a Sunday school class, and do some activities. Maybe you can serve in that way. We also have a very active women's fellowship. Some of you are involved in that, but I know some of you have recently become involved in that. And they have a care ministry, they've got a card ministry, sunshine baskets, all kinds of special activities that, ladies, you can be involved in. And this is just a small list of things the Women's Fellowship is involved in, but you can come and you can find out and you can serve. We also have special events. I was so excited to be able to see the Cruise Inn this year. And I was amazed. You guys have it down. I mean, I kind of was watching, and it got set up in an organized way. It got torn down really well, and it was a great service to the community. Coming up, we're going to have a Thanks for Giving dinner and auction, and several of you will be involved in that. And this year, we have an opportunity on December 6th to host the Christmas program for our community. All four churches in our network of churches are going to be hosting that. Lord willing, our new sign will be up before then, telling the community that we've got this activity coming to celebrate the Christmas season. But we're going to need some help. And maybe you'll be interested in helping with that. But the point is, there are lots of opportunities to serve. And if you're not sure what your gift is, get busy serving and try some things and find out. The fifth thing is to listen for feedback. When you participate in something, when you do something, what are you hearing from the Lord? Does the Lord seem to be blessing what you're doing? What do other people say about what you're doing? Are you getting compliments? Are you getting feedback that says, wow, you did that really well? If you listen to the feedback, you might get to find out what your spiritual gift is that you didn't even know, because the Lord will confirm it by the fruit, and other people will confirm it. But these five things are so important. Pray and ask God for wisdom. Study what His Word says about the gifts. Ask what needs there are. Get busy serving and listen for feedback. And if we do these things, we can find our spiritual gift, and we can find the way that we get plugged in, so we're not using our gifts for ourselves, but we're using them for others. I want to go to that passage I referred to in Ephesians 4, but I just want to focus on verse 16. We talked about this earlier in the series, but I want you to see what Jesus means about His body and what Paul said is so important in Ephesians 4:16. He, talking about Christ, Paul says, makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And check this out. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. That is another part of your responsibility. When you do your part, it helps the other people in the church family to grow, so that the whole body, watch this, is healthy, growing, and full of love. And that's the kind of church I want to belong to. That's the kind of church I want to be part of. So, as we are wrapping this entire series up, I want to remind you, you are responsible for your own spiritual growth. What are you doing to make sure your spiritual life is vibrant and growing? You are responsible for your participation in worship. Is it a priority? Are you here ready to worship the audience of one? You are responsible for your participation in fellowship. I challenged you this past week, reach out to somebody and spend some time. I hope that you did that. But I want you to understand today, you're also responsible for serving in the church family. I want to close today by reminding you of a parable that Jesus told. It's called the parable of the talents. Now, a talent in the New Testament times was a weight of measure of money. And Bible scholars tell us that a talent was about 75, maybe 80 pounds, somewhere in there. And so when Jesus told this parable, he talked about a master who was leaving his place of residence and business, and he gave three of his servants some weights of money, some talents. To the first one, he gave five talents, about 375 pounds of silver. Wow. To another one, he gave two, about 150 pounds of silver. And to a third, he gave one. And if you remember the story, the first servant took the money, invested it, and did a lot of good with it, and it actually doubled in value. And when the master came home, he was really pleased. The second one that had been given two talents, he went out and invested it and worked with it, and he earned two more. And again, when the master came home, he was very pleased. But do you remember what the third servant did? He was scared, and so he buried it in the ground. And when his master returned, he said, "Here's the talent you gave me." And the master was displeased because he had not used what he had been given. Now, Jesus was telling about being a good steward of these financial resources, but because in the English language, this measure of money is translated talent, it's really easy for us to see another analogy here, isn't it? God gave us gifts, talents, and abilities, and they're not for us to keep. What makes them special is when we use them and give them to serve each other, to serve others. But one of the reasons I chose Josh Wilson's song, "I Refuse," just before the message was sometimes it's easy to be like this servant and to hide our talent and refuse to use it, which is not pleasing to the Lord. It's also very common for a church family that has people who are older to think God's not really interested in using me anymore. And nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, I'm not going to do a lot of this, but I want to tell you about a few things that have been happening in the church family that have just been amazing. First of all, the way you guys have loved and encouraged and rallied around Carolyn has just been amazing, and I know she greatly appreciates it. Small acts of kindness and such. I know CD and Stella particularly have felt a lot of support in the last few weeks as well. But I want you to know there's some people in our church family who probably could have an excuse for not doing something, but it hasn't stopped them. Now, one of the things you might not really think about, but when you come on Sunday mornings and see how neatly manicured our yard is, it's pretty amazing. And we have a lady in our church that rides a John Deere mower all around. And that's our sister Donna. And I hope this won't embarrass you, Donna, but I just want to say, if somebody wanted an excuse not to do stuff like that, our dear sister is on oxygen. And at home, she's got a pretty good-sized machine that helps her, but she's got a portable pack. And she could say, "I have problems breathing. I can't do that." But it doesn't stop her. And we thank you for that. You might remember a few weeks ago, Linda Penny was under quarantine. Somebody in the household had come up positive for COVID, and she could have thought, "Well, I can't do anything. I'm stuck. I'm in quarantine. I'm at home." And many of you probably know, Linda had a career as a nurse. And even though she's retired, my mom tells me this, "Once a nurse, always a nurse." Right, Linda? Well, during that time, Carolyn was going through a very difficult time where Gary was in the hospital and they were trying to figure out what to do, and she was very confused. Linda had all this experience working in the hospitals and working with doctors, and even though she was stuck at home under quarantine, do you know what she did? She got on the phone and ministered to Carolyn in just an amazing way. And those are just a few examples of people that could have said, I can't do anything. I've got good reason not to do anything, but they didn't let it stop them. There are other examples in our church family, but I thought I'd share at least those with you. You can probably think of others. But I have a challenge for you today as we wrap up our message. And that challenge is, what will you do this week to use your spiritual gift or gifts to serve others? Whether you've opened it, whether you've identified it or not, God has given each of you who's a follower of Christ a spiritual gift. What are you doing with it? Have you opened it? Are you still not sure what your spiritual gift is? Just remember, pray, study the Word, ask what needs to be done, get busy serving, and listen for feedback. And this is the way that the church is going to grow and is going to thrive. If each of us takes our own responsibility to be spiritually growing, to worship our audience of one, to fellowship with one another, and to serve one another with our spiritual gifts. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we thank you so much that you've called us to be an active part of the church family. Yes, when visitors come and watch and listen and maybe even come to the point where they want to be a part of the fellowship, you know, that's one thing. But for people who are a part of this fellowship, we need to take these responsibilities seriously. So, Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would apply application wherever it needs to be. But we want to be that church that Paul wrote about in Ephesians 4:16. And as each part has been put together right here by Christ, and as each of us do our own special work, it will help the other parts grow so that our church is healthy and it's growing and it's full of love. Lord, you have called us to live so much more than ordinary lives. Help us to follow your plan to be your church so that we can be healthy, growing, and full of love, so that we can thrive. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to know.